The Dad Mods Media Machine presents the Brews with the Dudes podcast.
That's funny. It did a countdown and then it just didn't. It did like 6, 5, and then all of a sudden it's recording.
What if NASA did that? We're gonna count down from 10 and then they just launch the fuckers at 7. Yeah.
I mean, it would surprise the
astronauts.
There that's the go. Word I'm looking
like
for.
They're not pilots.
That's exactly where my head's going. Is I'm like, wait a minute, what do we call them again? Oh yeah,
they're not stewardess.
Stewardess. I would just say stewardess.
Stewardess, whatever.
Is that like one of those northern Minnesotan things where we find out that we're speaking the word wrong?
Oh, probably. We have our own kind of language up here.
We sure do, eh? Welcome back to another Brews with the Dudes podcast. I don't even know what that is. I'm Jake Lindquist.
I'm Donnie Allen.
And we're here with absolutely nobody except each other.
Absolutely nobody.
We want to thank you for coming back for another one of our podcasts. It's wild to see. We've got like one new viewer every week. And if we do
something
this long
like that,
enough, that'll accumulate to something.
Maybe. We might hit 100 by the end of the year.
I love how we keep being like, we're going to hit 100. And like, we've been at 100, but we're going to hit 100. And we're always making jokes.
We're going to hit the next 100.
Yeah, exactly.
We're gonna hit 200.
Exactly. We'll be counting everything in the hundreds.
Exactly.
And hopefully the Dad Mods, I was going to say podcast. That's not the right word. The Dad Mods channel will be well into the thousands soon here.
It's close. We're at... Last I checked was 943, and I think that went up since then.
964 now.
964?
Yeah,
awesome.
It's exciting. We're seeing a lot of growth, so thank you, everybody who's watching them, sharing the videos, just spreading the love. You know, this sounds so stupid. It's the whole like and subscribe kind of crap, but no joke, it helps, and it works with the algorithm, so the more videos that you press the like button on, the more it pushes it up in the
algorithms,
like, massive
like
lists of things when you search, like, and you go, oh, okay, 16 pages back, like, there's these videos. Well, those videos have the lowest performance. They have low view counts. They aren't as related to the topic or whatever, or they just lack engagement and that kind of thing. So our channel's doing great these days.
It's awesome,
and it's exciting.
Hear.
We're about to be able to finally start making some money from it. And
some,
at the...
What we kind of have already made money from it.
We have, and that's something we can talk about tonight. I realized out of reach is the thing we're going to show off
it
here
is.
In a moment.
And unfortunately, all the hard work with the monitors doesn't help us with that.
It doesn't. You can like get up and turn the camera, but that'd be so pointless because we could literally just grab the thing and carry it over. So that's
exactly.
That is what I'll do in a moment here. So once we are monetized, our game plan is to finally open up some merchandise and stickers and stuff
yes.
like that.
Hats, shirts, all that kind of fun jazz.
Yeah,
we'll
start simple too.
Yeah.
We've got a handful of designs that we've already been working on. And I always feel cheesy if I've got like, I feel like it's a little cheesy if you make a shirt that just simply says the thing, whatever it is, unless you've got big views. If you're Brian with the track, which clearly we're selling merch for the track, that's different. But if he had Greenlight Filming has a huge following. Yeah. That's something that people
would
be excited
that
to show off.
Well,
Dad Mods is so fresh.
Hoon again comes to mind right away.
Exactly.
How many t-shirts have you seen that just say Hoon across the chest?
Yeah, so
like,
people
okay.
are excited to share that kind of thing. B is for Build, same thing.
Yep.
It's another one of those channels that people are excited to just like sport their apparel as like a, if somebody else recognizes it, they go like, hey, cool,
I know
kind
that.
Of thing. We feel cheesy, but at the same time, this is the funny thing. You and I are horrible self-promoters.
Yes.
So people are probably like, why the fuck wouldn't you just put your logo out there and be excited about it? Well, because we feel awkward.
Yeah.
But we're going to do it anyways because people have been asking us, and that's super cool. So let's go into where people were asking us. Let's talk about this last weekend here.
Yeah. So last weekend, we were at Motorhead Madness down at the deck. It was Saturday and Sunday mm-hmm. from 10 to 9 and then 10 to 5 the following day.
Yep.
And it was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
It was
a good time. So Motorhead Madness is a big indoor car show. It's like the biggest indoor car show in northern Minnesota. It happens early in the year, so it happens in the mid to late March. Usually it's in the late March. And it's you know, historically has been mostly a muscle car and classic show.
Which there's a good handful of that there, but there was a lot of, I shouldn't say a lot of, there was a good amount of imports this year.
Well, the mold was broken this year, for sure. There was a lot of moderns. There was a lot of imports. There was one Euro car, two Euro cars.
There's a McLaren.
There was three
Euro cars.
Four.
Jaguar.
Oh, that's right. There was a Jag, wasn't there?
The Jaguar, the McLaren, the BMW.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Oh, the Bug.
Yep, there's two Bugs. There was
one and a half Bugs.
There was Herbie, and then there was the lifted. It was like a crazy exoskeleton lifted ass thing, and they slapped a new Bug body on it.
Yes,
hilarious.
And I think that's all the European cars I can think of.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it was great. It was a great show, and we got a lot of love at it.
Yes,
and that was cool.
We did. We had we were off one of the main rooms, and one of the side rooms that still had ton of crap in it, and we had kind of the main display in that room. We were the first display you would see when you walked in. So we had the shoebox, the BMW, actually that TV as well, some posters, and then a bunch of our friends with their Miatas and 1940 Chev and Camaro. Or is it a Firebird? It's a Camaro, is it?
It's a Firebird, it's a Firebird. WS6.
Okay, Firebird. Mm-hmm. Kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Close. The G body.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's okay, everybody in the lineup.
I feel like I'm missing one.
We had four with us, and we were the two. So yeah, it was Cody Smith's crazy HPDE G body.
There was Aiden's mint Miata.
Yeah, that Donnie used to own.
Yes, and I should have kept because I would have won best in show.
Yeah, Brian's absolutely gorgeous WS6. That car is so clean.
It's spotless.
It's like that champagne color, and it's like it's just unbelievable how spotless he's got that thing. And then there's Brando's car parked next to it, which is
a 40s Chev.
41.
41 Chev with a LS under the hood.
Yeah, turbo LS. And it's the opposite of Brian's car, which is really fun to have them parked next to each other. Because Brando's car is just a down and dirty, terrifyingly fast machine.
It almost looks like he rolled it right out of the barn.
Oh, 100%.
And then it just shreds tires.
My favorite thing about it is, like, you're running around Power Cruise, and, like, there's... Because they used to do, like, a lot of funny, like, fabric-y kind of materials and stuff. And so, like, some of the stuff that's for keeping wind out of your car wasn't rubber back then. They would use, like, literal fabric for some of it. And it's, like, these round coiled things that, like, are woven on the outside. Thank you. And anyway, so a lot of his are frayed, and when you're driving down the road, there's frayed things just kind of moving with the wind while you're going mock Jesus in like this 600 some odd horse or 500 and some odd horse, just terrifyingly fast machine. It's so fun. It's so
I didn't get a chance to ride in it
down
last
to rip.
Year, and I wanted to, and just timing didn't work out.
Yeah.
I'd be on the track with somebody, I'd come back and he'd be gone, or
pretty much
somebody else was picking a ride. And
but hey, let's fucking okay. So in the past, we had a display years ago, and that's the show. If you guys were following us on the socials back then, it's the show that we put the Civic in, and it was cool. We had a lot of fun. We actually had a lot more toys there then, a lot more motorized toys then, because we had the trike, we had the drift cooler, and we had the CT90.
Oh, that's right.
This year we only had as far as motorized. Oh wait, no, we had the CB750 this year.
Yeah, we had the 750.
Yeah,
the trike.
We were just one cylinder less.
And then we had a pedal car, and then a kid's tricycle as well.
It was fun. It was really fun.
It was very fun. There was a couple of kids that were sitting on the motorcycle, the motorized trike.
Mm-hmm.
I'd catch them, and I'd just be like, you know, you'd walk up and they'd be like, oh no, get off.
Like, it's fine, guys. We built these things to play
you're
with.
Fine.
Just stay out of the pedal car.
Yeah. Just don't ride off with one of them and you're fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was fun. And
it was.
Both cars got a lot of love, which was awesome to see. Sump pump.
Oh, gotcha. I suppose we're going to hear that every now and again. I don't know if you guys caught that or not.
Spring, it's like 45 today, so the snow's melting, and then it's supposed to get cold again.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're supposed to get more snow.
I know, it's so silly. But Yeah. So as far as like the show goes, so that was our display. We also had a kind of guess the amount of hardware in the thing.
Yes.
Kind of game. And it was a Winnebago, like a toy Winnebago that you have. And yeah, it was really cool. We just slapped a bunch of 5/16, 18 fasteners into it. And then people had to try and guess how much was in there. And that's actually what we've got here in one of these pieces of paper was who the winner is. And actually, we can throw that out here right now. And the funny thing is we asked for people to put their email address people down. And this chick put her phone number on here, which we're now going to read you. No, I'm just kidding.
Was she attractive? Or
she's pretty.
Okay.
We want to say names on here?
No.
No, we'll announce it on the... announce it on Facebook or something like that. Yeah. We'll ask her first. Make sure that she's okay with her name being announced on it. But anyway, so yeah, it was fun. We have how many pages on there? Four pages. And I'm pretty sure there's like 20. We had a little over 100 people or right around 100 people. Try and guess. It was really fun. Yeah. And like that was a part of just trying to like engage people and put some interesting things into it.
So yeah, it was a great weekend.
It was so good that we actually got an award. So
yes.
This show, it's a little, I have mixed feelings about this part, and I'm not going to, I'm not going to dog on the show because it's wonderful. I love that we get the engagement that we do, that people love what we put together.
I love that Duluth has something like this.
Yeah.
Because a lot of cities don't have an indoor car show like this to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's awesome that we even have an indoor show that brings, a couple hundred cars every year.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, so as far as, like, the awards and stuff like that go there, generally everybody gets a plaque and a tag an awardee kind of sounding title to a lot of them.
Outstanding in class.
There's outstanding, and that's sort of a like thanks for putting a car in the show kind of award. But then they also have like best in class, and then there's like the upper echelon, which are really, really specialized.
With a Magnificent Seven, which is like the top seven picks from the judges.
Yeah, best in show. There's
$1,200 gift card for a photographer and like $500.
Yeah, it's super
it's a big
cool.
Prize.
Like, yeah, that's true. And the whole thing that the photographers, it was like a light painting.
Yeah,
thing. So it was like a night shoot.
It was really cool.
Really neat thing. And then there was outstanding displays.
Yes.
Which we were selected as one of them.
Yep, there's three of them that they passed out, and we got one.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
So we actually we got an engraved trophy, which is that guy right there. And then we also got a check for $100. So
that was written out to Frank.
Yeah. So it's super cool.
It's
like,
fantastic.
So that's not just a participation kind of thing. It's a like they sought out the displays and they said, you know what, these guys did really good.
Yeah,
and so
awesome that we got that. And I think in the future we're gonna build some shelving back here probably and have that and any other awards we ever get on
definitely
display.
Yeah, yep, exactly. We'll display all the good stuff back there. I know, I'm super stoked. Like there was three awards for the displays and there was how many hundreds of cars were in the show.
There are tons of cars
and we were one of the three.
It's fantastic.
So cool.
It's
yeah.
Awesome that
we had a blast regardless of getting a trophy. We still had a blast. This is just icing on the cake.
I just loved people's reactions because both your car and my car are different.
Very.
And so seeing people's reactions to them, seeing somebody look under the hood of the shoebox and be like, oh, that's an LS. Oh, God damn it.
Oh, man. Oh, no.
All over my pants. I am sitting in beer.
Yeah. We got a little malfunction here. Somebody decided to shake up the beers before we brought them down. Oh. Now we can find out how level your floor is.
That's coming right to me. I'm going to grab paper towels because there's something right there.
Yeah. Go for it, man. All right. So what we got here is a very shooken up IPA. It's called Most Coast. It's by Burning Brothers Brewing. It's a India Pale Ale. Kind of excited to try this. But first, we're going to get this whole drip drop sorted out. Donnie's got to clean all the fluids off of his jeans. Ah, very good.
I did not shake this up though.
I just simply put it in the car. I know, dude. I know. The lady at the counter gave it a little extra shake for you. She knew you were gonna be drinking it.
Something like that.
You look like the kind of person who'd be drinking it the second you got home.
Well, not anymore if I take this new job. So.
Okay. Very good, very good. Yeah, that's a good beer. It's got really good bitters. Very good. Again, that is the India Pale Ale Most Coast by Burning Brothers. Burning Brothers Brewing.
Ooh, I do like that. That's pretty good.
It's got a good bite to it. It's a little on. It's close-ish to a Surly.
It's got like a little bit of citrus in it too. Like just a hair, I feel. Or could it just be that it was a little flat to me.
No, there is kind of a weird. Oh, this got a little bit of Heineken.
Yeah.
Weird. Oh, wow. It says the calorie count on the back. 260 calories.
Oh, that's right. Fine.
Drinking my dinner, I guess.
Mm, that's tasty.
Yeah, it's not bad. I have mixed feelings because the little bit of Heineken-ness to it is a little odd. It's
a good mix, though.
Yeah. I'll continue sipping and I'll make my decision. It's not too bad.
I'm gonna wait till tomorrow morning to see how much I shit to base if I like it or not.
Yeah, that's.
If I'm in the bathroom all day, I'll pass next time. But if I can hold off to like 11,
yeah, right.
Then I'll like it.
Hmm. Yeah.
260 calories. Yeah, that's a lot of calories.
I think that's kind of par for the course when it comes to like darkish beers.
I guess so.
I think and this is a 16. This isn't a 12 ounce.
I'd say like a Blue Moon, I think, is like 150.
Yeah, I thought that's what we'd figured out. Which is funny. Like, I expected
White Claw, so.
Yeah, I do. So 100 calories and like no carbs. 1 gram of carbs, I think. Well, I don't just drink White Claws. I've got IPAs in the fridge right now.
Are they made by White Claw?
Oh, well, yeah.
They just say IPA on the side to make you feel like a man.
Yeah. I can't think of a clever. Acronym
for IPA.
For IPA, that would mean kind of white girlish, but yeah. So I mean, hey, it's a decent beer. I'm not gonna not drink it.
Oh no, you never just turn down a free beer.
And if I throw a fit about it, we've got a bunch in the reserves up there.
I got a bunch up in the fridge too. So we're good. Yeah, well, we got a lot of beer. If you want to get crazy, we can go vodka.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you know of a good mini fridge, if there's anybody in the area, obviously if you're in New Zealand, Australia, don't
really help us.
Don't bother shipping one our way. But yes, we do need a mini fridge. We're gonna start doing our hunt. We would absolutely love a display piece. Like, yeah, we came across one that was $125, and it's definitely got me thinking because it's
cool.
It's super cool.
I don't know if it's $125 cool.
I have mixed feelings because it's like bright yellow. It's the 99 Bananas brand or whatever.
We'll just have Brody wrap it for us.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Stick something on this for us.
Oh my god, are you talking upholstered?
Yeah.
Have him upholstered. A mini fridge.
He's like, yeah, stick something on this for us.
Upholstered mini fridge would be amazing.
Cool as hell. I bet you he'd do it.
That's so funny. Yeah, or like we should rice it out. Like put a wing on it and underglows.
I love that. Can we put a hood scoop on it?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have the door open up. We have to put a Lamborghini door on it so it just doesn't open normally. Pops up.
Goddamn. These chatty Cathy is up there. It's so funny because now we've got a full size we got a TV. We got like a 44-inch or 46 or whatever inch television that's now a giant monitor for us.
Which is fantastic.
Which is super cool.
But it's also a distraction.
When we pull up Facebook up there, yeah, we've got pop up conversations and stuff like that. So it's kind of silly. But you know, it's all good. So yeah, let's see here. I'm gonna pull up. Okay, that's not what I wanted to do. I want to do one over here.
Hey, look at that.
See how that pops up. Yeah, I know this is riveting stuff here, guys. Okay, cool. What is that?
That's the baby monitor.
Oh, is that letting you know that your daughter is in distress?
Her pulse is a little down, but she'll be fine.
Oh, it's got a pulse oximeter on it?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, okay.
It's just telling me that the battery's dying on the monitor.
I was going to say, is this made by Owlette?
No. No, the batteries are dying on the monitor.
So for those who have kids or are planning on having kids, expecting any of those kind of things, this is going to be a very dad-related thing. I am going to plug a product, not because we were paid to do so, simply for the fact that it has been one of the most wonderful tools that we had with our youngsters.
Wooden spoon?
Well, we're approaching that with my son. That kid's been a lot lately. So there's this brand called Owlette, and what they make is a pulse oximeter sensor. It's a sock. They call it a sock, but it's like a foot wrap, and it wraps around the baby's foot, and it puts a pulse oximeter on the bottom of it so that you're able to monitor the heart rate.
Jesus.
Heart rate and the blood oxygen. And what it does is it screams bloody murder if your kid ever drops below certain thresholds. So basically, it's there to prevent SIDS. SIDS is called sudden infant death syndrome.
Yeah, it's scary shit.
It's oh my God, yeah. It's essentially scary. Kids just will stop breathing because they'll, you know, asphyxiate from a blanket being over their face
or something dumb. And,
yeah, they might vomit. They might aspirate. Yeah, there's a lot of things terrifying. That can happen.
It's why you're not supposed to sleep with your kid in the bed.
Yeah, exactly. And why your kid should never have blankets until they're a certain age and all that kind of stuff. Like, basically, you wrap your kids up in a big, funky, like, sleep sacks and all that kind of stuff. You want to put that, or can you silence that or something?
It is silenced.
It's because
the battery's dying on it.
Gotcha. I just don't want to, because it's going to get worse. It's going to keep beeping, and it beeped faster as the battery was going dead earlier.
I could plug it in.
Yeah, why don't you do that? So I'll talk a Owlette here for a minute. But yeah, it's the best. So we've used it now with both of our kids, and the one worked great on both. The one worked great for both kids. So it was like a one-time, like, $300 expense to have that. And it was great. Like, it's peace of mind. So one of the scariest things as a new parent is fear that, like, yeah, your kids, how are they doing? Are they, like, are they breathing good? And let me tell you, so you get past that point, it becomes a tool just to simply monitor how well they're sleeping.
I could see that.
So I go, like, oh, why is my daughter's heart rate sitting at 140 tonight? Normally when she's sleeping, it's down at like 99 or 98 or even in the 80s sometimes if she's really deep asleep. If it's sitting at 140, you can go, she's sick. So as soon as she would start showing symptoms like she was getting sick or even just like just before, we'd notice that all night long she would have a little bit higher heart rate. So it was really interesting.
That's a cool
really
tool
nice
to
kind of be able to monitor all that stuff.
And this is going to fall.
Oh my God, these things. That's one of our next challenges, is that we're going to build better mounting systems for all of our mic equipment and stuff on this damn table. But
yeah,
anyway, so that's Owlette. So if you've got kids, you're having kids, you're thinking about having kids, look into that. It's worth every penny.
I would totally try it, but at 10 months, we're not going to use it enough, and we're done having kids.
We used it until... We just stopped using it with Lumen, and she's a year and a half. So you would have to justify it for another 6 months, which you've got a decent monitoring device there. You guys have become very comfortable. You know, third kid. You're kind of, what
fine.
To expect. It'll be all right.
Her arm moved. She's good.
Yeah, you're not throwing a comforter over her or something like that.
No,
you
she's
know?
Still got like that wrap thing. It's like a sleeping bag, but it's got the little wraps
They're
on
awesome.
It.
They're awesome. And it's the wrap for pulling her arms in tight, right?
Yep, but... she doesn't like that anymore.
Oh, she's ready to have her arms out?
Yeah, so she has her arms out and they
That's
fly
awesome.
Around and stuff.
It's so cute. Like, you'll start with having your kids tied, like, it sounds like I'm saying tied up, but it's kind of like that, like you're restraining them. But they love it because, like, when they're in utero, they're this curled up little tiny ball and they're not really able to do much. So when they're that young, you're kind of trying to replicate a lot of that.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, swaddling is all about and stuff.
And it works fantastic. And even now, like, with her arms out, you wrap her up in that thing, and she gets comfortable, and you feed her a bottle, she's normally out within minutes.
Yeah.
So.
And that's the progress. Like, once they get their arms out and they're comfortable with it and they're not, like, waking themselves up by doing, like, the whole... It's like they get scared.
Yeah.
They, like, freak... I don't remember what it's called, but... It's really cute and funny, but then it's also sad because you feel bad for them because they literally wake themselves up from like these little weird twitch moments. But anyway, yeah. So what's new with the E30?
Can't stop, won't stop.
Kind of stops.
It doesn't stop. So we'll have an update video on this. Our Volkswagen brake booster with the E30 master cylinder doesn't fucking work.
Well, this combination has some quirks.
It has a lot of quirks. So the biggest thing we think is the issue is the throw between the brake booster and the master cylinder. Mm-hmm. Looking at a Jetta master cylinder, it actually extends into the booster further. So we're going to swap that out with a Jetta master cylinder. I found one that comes with a reservoir. Apparently, that's really hard to find. So I get that ordered up. And then when we were trying to bleed the brakes, we broke a bleeder, and the other one is stuck on the front calipers. So we're going to swap out calipers, which I believe I've done in the past. And talking to our buddies at the parts store, their rebuilt calipers are apparently notoriously for stuck bleeders.
Oh, really? Weird.
So I'm going to... I'll bring them in.
Put some anti-seize on them or something.
Put a little bit of anti-seize on the new ones, and I'm hoping they cover them under warranty, which it sounds like they will.
Okay, that's good. So. Is it because they're a metal bleeder and aluminum...
I think so. That'd be my guess.
Yeah, weird.
And they were like, oh, you know, you had them for a year. I'm like, the car's never seen salt. Mm-hmm. Well, since I've owned it, it's never seen salt. It doesn't sit outside. Yeah. Barely gets driven in the rain. So.
Yeah, really. That is kind of strange that there's nothing would have that issue. Would
cause it to see. So.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll warranty it.
That's where that's at. And then we get to drive the piss out of it and just try to get it to run better. Which is exciting. I'm excited. Like, that's a good issue to have of, like, oh, you just need to drive the thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's a great issue.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's really interesting to discover what was the quirk with the brake system is that there's such a gap, you know. Okay, so to try and give you guys an idea of how a basic hydraulic brake system works is you've got a pedal. That pedal has a rod that sticks out. That rod usually goes into a brake booster, but sometimes on manual brakes, it goes straight into the master cylinder. But basically, you've got a brake booster, and that's what kind of amplifies the pressure that you're putting on into the system. And it's just sort of like a pin and a pin, and it's all pushing it forward like this. Well, the problem is the spacing between the brake booster and the back of the master cylinder means that when the brake booster is not, when it's resting, when it's at rest and it's not being utilized, it's not touching the back of the master cylinder. There's actually a gap. So what happens is you push that forward and then it has to extend a little ways before it touches the back of the master cylinder.
And it's actually bad for the stuck. And it's getting bad for the master cylinder too, because it's getting stuck. And then it's also, I mean, it's like if somebody just kept poking you, like it hurts. Mm-hmm. Like that's the same thing that's happening to the master cylinders. This little metal rod just keeps jabbing it.
Yeah, I don't know why the first one leaked. Why that master cylinder is leaking out of the back? No, that's what has me puzzled. It's like, why would that happen?
I don't know, but we'll try the Volkswagen one and kind of see what happens, I guess.
If we use the parts that are meant for each other, I think it's probably going to answer a lot of things.
Yes, for each other in a car that's kind of Frankenstein.
It's a little Frankenstein. So what's interesting is that we aren't the originators of this concept either.
No,
there was another SR swapped E30 that did a very similar thing and used a Volkswagen brake booster, but there's been no mention of any fitment issues like this.
Yeah, and this wasn't another YouTube channel or anything like that. This was a write-up that I found of the build, and I actually reached out to them on a couple of different occasions and never got a reply back. So yeah. I'm not really sure what happened with any of that. I don't even know if the car is still here in the States or,
you know, I wonder if like the late model E30 has a different master cylinder.
Maybe, but why?
It would be strange, but you never know. Like, there's changes that happen in those, you know, facelift versus the older whatever. I'm guessing it's not.
It's a German car, so who knows?
The Volkswagen Fox is basically the Jetta, right?
Yeah.
Is it the same part number?
As far as I know, that master cylinder works on the Golf, the Jetta, the Passat, and the Fox.
Okay, interesting.
From what the guys at the parts store were telling me.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, so it's probably the same thing that they did, and who knows if they were having issues.
And they may have had issues and put a spacer in there or something like that, and then just never
Yeah, that's my only other thought is like, we'll see how this goes. And if it comes to it, I think you can actually get spacers that'll go inside there.
If need be.
So we'll try it out. We're going to work through that little quirk. So that's what's going on with the E30. So we had it out the other day, though. We got to talk about getting the choo-choos with that thing, though. It's starting to run good.
It runs really good. It's rich still, which Jake brought up tonight. It could actually be the booster issue, though. You could have a vacuum leak inside the booster because of all these components not working together.
Well, so when you're when you depress the pedal, any car you can do this, hit the pedal a bunch of times. You'll watch your idle increase. That's because it's pulling vacuum to use the brake booster. So it got me thinking, like, I wonder if this is throwing the vacuum off a little bit in the system.
Very well could
be acting kind of weird, or it could literally be leaking internally. Yeah. So I don't know. It's something to something for us to investigate.
Yeah. So once we can fix the brakes, we can drive it and go from there.
Yeah. And there was one other quirk that like could be happening where the blow-off valve might be open.
All the way.
And this is unshimmed currently.
And it is a MAF car, so I know it's going to die at idle if you're not careful and all that kind of stuff, because you're dumping all the air in the system out into the atmosphere, and then the MAF is like, where is that air that I just metered?
Yeah, exactly.
It freaks the fuck out.
So it starts running real fat.
Which gives me the options of spending $300 and doing a recert, which I probably will do, which I hate that idea because I like the sound of a blow-off valve. I could just deal with it and just learn to drive it to keep the RPMs up when I come to a stop, which is... I'm leaning towards that. I'm trying to talk myself out of that.
Well, let's start by shimming that...
Exactly.
...the blow-off valve first.
Option three is to switch it to a MAP and swap out the ECU, and that's like a grand. And
I like that idea.
If I keep the blow-off valve, I will eventually go that route because I'm sure I'm going to get sick of being a racer and downshifting to every single stoplight to keep the car running. I mean, it's not a Harley, so I don't need to rev it up at the stoplight.
Yeah. Well, it's only if you're on it a bunch.
Yeah,
but here's the thing. Like, you might run into the issue where you're at an autocross and you're taking a super tight corner. We'll say it's like a horseshoe or something. And you got to push your clutch in, the thing might die on you when you're in the middle of the corner. Now, granted, you're probably like engine braking, so more than likely the car's keeping itself going. But you just don't want to like
you don't want to
always
or
have
something.
Fouling plugs and all that stuff, because that's kind of what'll happen. You know, MAF cars, they just really they want to have that correctly metered air in there. Otherwise, you've got to do some funky tuning and. I don't even know if you can tune that out of the...
I don't think you can. I think the tune is to switch it to MAP.
So I want to say you can tune it out with Subarus, but I don't think you can tune it out with Nissans. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. I've never fucked with one.
He's drunk.
The engine tuning I've done is with my Sniper and with a Honda, Turbo Honda. I tuned that one completely myself. That was fun.
It's a learning curve for all this. So
it is.
We'll get it figured out.
Yeah, so that's where it's at. And it's cool.
It's making
exciting.
Progress. And it
drove.
It drives really well. I didn't want to push it too much because I couldn't stop it super well.
You were acting so like you were driving the shit out of that thing.
I was,
let's be
but
real.
I still wasn't driving it 100% the way I wanted to drive it.
Oh great! Okay. So you're gonna blow that thing up this summer?
No, you won't. No,
it's
not,
stock, stockish boost level. It's like. You know, the car is very conservative and it's running fat, which is safer. That means like engine temperatures are down. The worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to, you know, you would cake up the valves. That'd be the worst thing, which would suck. But yeah, anyway, it's going good. And we're going to keep working it out and getting the little quirks ironed out. And it's just going to keep getting better and better. And then we're going to do some really fun stuff.
And
like
hopefully go autocross or road course or just simply going on an adventure.
Adventures. Yeah.
Just go somewhere.
Yeah, that's one of our tasks that we were going to be doing tonight is actually starting to make our list of all the things we want to try and do this summer.
And then we built a wall and mounted a TV.
We did build a wall.
So we got stuff done.
We got a lot of shit done.
Everything we wanted to do, but we got some stuff done.
So the shoebox is, it's the continuation of last year plus air suspension. So I have a static dropped rear end, which is hilarious. It's so bouncy.
And it puts your gas tank like 6-7 inches off
Yeah, I'd say it's probably 6 inches off of the ground. With me, and it's probably 6 inches off the ground.
Is that your 6 inches or a female 6 inches? That's
so
different.
Well, I don't know. You're actually the one who looked at it. So, because I looked under the car, but when you sit my fat ass in there, it probably goes down a little bit more.
A little?
Yeah. What's
away,
funny?
Stay away from the speed bumps.
Is I would love to know what the... So, the shock angle on these things from the factory is like... It's past 45 degrees. It's like, it's probably like 40 or 38 degrees. So it's at like this crazy angle at factory ride height. Mm-hmm. It's dumped. So I got a feeling I basically don't have a shock. Like, yeah, it's just kind of not doing anything. So
yeah, probably.
It's super bouncy. My front end is on air. So it's sitting at 100 PSI. Plus, it's got Fox shocks in the front of it. So they're awesome shocks that work amazing. So the front end rides pretty good. It's a little boaty because, like, the... Because
it's a 50s car?
Well, it doesn't matter. Yeah. The chassis underneath is what matters. It doesn't matter if it's a 50s car. But if you've got, like, all-out Viking coilovers on every corner and sway bars, it's going to feel like... whatever the chassis is set up for. In our case, you know, this is an S10 front end, so it's basically an S10 underneath it. So it's riding like an S10 that doesn't have sway bars in the front and then a really ridiculous suspension in the back. Anyway, so it's a little imbalanced. The back is super bouncy and the front is just like delightful, you know? But the problem is I still have that issue with the transmission. I still have a 700R4 that thinks that it's always at wide open throttle because the throttle valve stuck wide open. So the thing shifts so goddamn hard. It's awful.
So manual swap it.
So
that's the game plan, right?
That is the game plan. I have to figure out how I want to attack this. I'm thinking about first running it down to Dick's transmission and just saying, is there anything that you can do that isn't too terribly invasive? Can you get this throttle valve unstuck? Can you set it up correctly?
He just comes out with a big hammer.
Yeah, legit. If he does that, that's fine. I don't care. Because the goal is to manual swap this thing. But if I can... push it off, if I can run auto for the rest of the season and have it operate correctly, I'll just do that.
Yeah.
I'll just enjoy it this season. I'm not going to drive
get
it spirited.
Seat time.
Exactly. Just
that's the
work out the
too.
Quirks with it. If I can't, then it's going to speed up the process and I'm probably going to go straight into doing a manual swap on it, which is going to be interesting.
Yeah, there's some quirks to kind of figure out there. Starter issues and all that fun stuff.
Oh no!
You were saying
no. It's straightforward.
You were saying that was it the NV transmission?
The quirk is the slave cylinder.
Yeah, was gonna hit the starter.
So no, it hits the block. It hits the oil pan.
Okay, so you said starter when I talked to you.
I am sorry.
You were probably drunk on White Claws.
Probably. I don't know when we
talked. I thought
I heard
Trailer Park Boys playing in the background, but I could be wrong.
No, I'm saying. Yeah, man. So I got to decide on all these things. I have an NV 3500 sitting on the floor, but the problem is the S10 housing is smaller than the full size housing. So the NV 3500 that goes on a 88 to 98 Chevy truck or the next generation, it did fit on V8s. But so it fit on LSs at one point, right? There's a version of the NV 3500 that went on LSs. The S10 was always a 4.3 liter. And I think they shrunk the housing for it.
I could see
so
that.
The problem
it sounds like
is
GM would do.
Positioning, it takes the slave cylinder and it actually contacts the oil pan. So it's a bit of screwing around, and the early version of that didn't have the internal slave cylinder where it sits, like, you know, basically on the snout where it's a direct contact with the end of the clutch. This one, of course, uses like the big arm or whatever, but the arm is internal of the bell housing. Not external, like a lot of these transmissions are. So it's annoying. It's something to work out. I don't know if I'm going to try and convert to an internal one or whatever. It's a matter of measuring spacing and all that kind of junk and seeing if it works. Or if I can get this stupid 700R4 working and I can simply enjoy it for a season as an auto, it will give me more than enough time to save up money and try and figure out a, you know, Tremec TKO or a AR5 or a T56 or a CD09, like any of the transmissions that will bolt up, that's a little more car oriented, better for rowing the gears.
Yeah, they're pricier, but like you said, if you can save up over 3-4 months because of it, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I would be able to save up a lot more. I'd basically save until winter.
So and like just 3 or 4 months.
God damn, you're right. Yeah, and so I just plan to spend, you know, $3,000 on a proper transmission setup this winter. But I don't know, we'll see. A thought even crossed my mind of doing paddle valve or paddle shifters with an auto.
That's a good idea.
Which could be kind of fun, but I think you end up having a full manual that way. I'm not sure if you can be in both worlds like a lot of the factory cars have.
You know, that's a question for Sean. Sean would know that answer. He was talking to me about doing... What was we talking about? I can't remember which car it was. There's some car I had at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about doing paddle shifters with it.
Was it with doing a 5-liter swap in the E30?
Maybe. That might have been what we were talking
about. Yeah, I think that's what he was talking about. Yeah, because there's a couple transmission controllers that can do that. Mm-hmm. The 4R70W... which is the transmission that's behind the 302 from the later model 302s. That's a fully electronic transmission, and you can get a controller that will take paddle valve inputs on it.
No shit.
So it's the same thing with the 4L60E, 4L80E, and the 47RW. There's a lot of useless car information up here. It's ridiculous. So, you can do that. And it crossed my mind because it could be kind of fun, but I just love rowing gears. And there's something about having a big, stupid shifter in front of the dash.
Yeah,
and, you know,
that.
Very old school, which is funny because, I mean, it's really not that old school. Well, but
I'm all for it. I mean, the more I think about it, we're not going to auto swap the bus. We're going to leave it a manual. It's so hard to find the auto stick transmissions.
Yeah.
And I was telling the wife, I'm like, so you get to learn to drive the BMW this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I don't want to break it. I told her, I'm like,
you're not going
to
break it.
Like, I built it to be broken.
Mm-hmm.
But she just kind of gave me that weird look of like, you're a fucking idiot.
Okay. All you got to do is pull up a video of any SR20 powered drift car and say, you think having the engine die trying to start out at a stop sign is going to kill this thing. Look at what they do. And it's wop, 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 for 5 minutes as it's going around a drift course.
It'll be real simple. Like, we're just going up to the mall. You're going to put it in first and just slowly let off the clutch and let it move.
Yeah, exactly. All you got to do. The thing I think that's going to trip her up the most, though, is the heavy gas pedal.
The heavy gas pedal and just the fact that your legs, both legs and both hands are doing something.
Timing of everything.
There's a lot of timing. There's a lot of multitasking going on. So she's a little nervous about that. And like, you're fine. Like, that's where you go practice in a big parking lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing for you to hit. Worst case scenario, you hit the brakes, you forget to push the clutch in, and it dies.
Well, and one of the things about driving a manual transmission car is that, like, it tells you.
Yeah.
The engine screams at you to shift. Mm-hmm. If you aren't, and we talked about this in the Rebel forums, the Facebook groups, the
modern forums.
Oh, yuck. I absolutely hate Facebook. So there's a conversation where there's a lot of newbies that are on these Rebels, because there's the Rebel 300, the Rebel 500, and the Rebel 1100. So you get a variety of riders. So you get guys like me who've been riding for a long time and I'm comfortable with 1100 to total newbies who just got started and they're like, I don't want an overly powerful bike. They hop on a 300 and there's conversations asking about, where was I going with this?
About how to manual
thank you.
All that? Yeah.
Yeah. And they're just like asking all these anal retentive questions about when do I shift and all this kind of stuff. Like, what's the right number to shift? Because they're literally reading the owner's manuals and trying to get an idea of when to shift each gear. And it's like, You're way overthinking this.
Yeah, it's when you want to.
The engine, unless you're at wide open throttle, if you're at wide open throttle, the engine sounds so natural high in the RPMs because you're expecting it. There's an anticipation there. If you're at really low, if you're at low throttle position and you're bringing it up to 4,000 or 5,000 RPMs, it feels weird. The engine's screaming at you to shift. That's the way that I've always perceived it. So you can try and express that to somebody who's a newbie through just saying, like, what is the engine telling you? Engine's telling you to shift.
Yeah, so I think she'll figure it out. I think after about 20 minutes, I think that's what it'll take. Have her kill it a couple of times to realize, like, see, it's mechanical. Like, you're not going to kill it. You're not going to break it. It's fine.
Yeah, the brake pedal does what every single car's brake pedal does. Yep. So if you get scared, hit the brake pedal. Yep.
And the car will die.
And it's fine. Okay.
And it'll
you didn't break it.
Yeah.
What you should do is you should take her out there and just drop the clutch once. Kill it yourself.
Yeah.
Be like, see, that's all it is.
I've lost count of how many times I've killed a car.
Oh, man. I've killed your car a few times.
It's so dumb when you're just so confident in your driving abilities. And then, like, you go to leave a stoplight and you're just not quite.
You go and leave
it.
A car meet.
Oh, yeah.
I've done that. Yeah. Oh, my God. I haven't done that,
but I have done.
You ever tipped over a motorcycle in front of people?
You ever flip a tricycle off a BMW into traffic?
Oh, story time. Story time. All right, tell the people.
All right, before I go to bed. So we were packing up. Well, we packed up from Motorhead Madness, dropped a bunch of shit off at your house. Went to my house to drop off the trike and the BMW. So BMW's got a roof rack, tricycle. The motorized tricycle is sitting in the basket. And Jake's block is one block down from a stoplight, okay? And it's a decent-sized block. So I pull onto traffic. I have nobody in front of me. I get on a little bit because the car makes all the choo-choo noises. That's how you have to drive the fucking thing. The light turns yellow, and I decided, you know what? I'm not going to safely make it through this intersection. With the brakes I have on this car, I'm like, that's fine.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'll hit the brakes, and I'll just slowly stop like you're supposed to. Well, when you have 1 inch of brake travel because your brakes are shit, it stopped.
Yeah.
Which caused the tricycle to kind of bounce, come up out of the basket, off the windshield, hit the strut brace bar, flip, and then go through the intersection.
It was amazing.
Luckily,
wait, it flipped?
It flipped once.
Oh,
it flipped
shit.
One time. Surprisingly, nothing got hit. Like, nobody hit the tricycle. Nobody hit me. The only thing that got damaged is there's, like, two scuff marks on the strut brace.
Yeah, have we looked at the trike to see if there's damage?
I didn't see any damage on it.
I didn't notice
I didn't see anything on it either. Yeah, that got scuffed up. One of the intercooler pipes got a little scuffed up.
And dented.
And dented. But you'll never see it. It'll be popped up.
It's so funny because, like, I'm behind him, right? Was I in the 4Runner?
You were in the 4Runner.
So I'm behind him, and I'm in my lifted 4Runner, so I've got a really nice bird's eye view of the top of his car. And it's all of a sudden, I just watch this thing sail over the front of your car. Slam onto the windshield, and then just like I never saw the flip, it must have hit the core support and then did a little end over.
Yep,
and then you know, so he stops. You know,
I wasn't trying to stop abruptly, it just
stop because the thing went over the front of you, and then I'm looking over just and you just see this thing rolling into the intersection. I laughed so hard.
Oh, God, I'm glad you laughed. I was like, oh shit, like. I'm going to lose the trike. I'm going to cause an accident.
Well, that's my biggest fear it was going to cause an accident.
I was
accident,
waiting for a mom and her minivan to come through there and just smoke it. And luckily nothing happened.
It was so great. Yeah, and everything worked out okay. The car runs and drives just fine.
I pooed myself a little bit, but other than that, we're fine.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that was great. That was great.
I'm glad you had a laugh out of that.
I did.
I'm laughing now.
It was a good time.
I wasn't laughing then.
I can see why it's a pucker moment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm just sitting there. I'm watching the trike go in front of me off the windshield.
Oh, yeah, dude. I know. It's just... Ugh. Yeah, I know. It's... it's one of those situations you don't expect this to happen and then surprise
and then
it's right
does,
there
and you're like holy shit I can't believe that happened.
Yeah, pretty much. So one last thing I'm going to leave you guys here with. So we do have a website. If you ever want to poke around, here it is. Okay, is it loading? Is it happening? There it is. If you guys ever want to check it out, in the near future here, we are going to have our apparel and stuff like that all figured out, and any other things that we are selling, it'll all be available from the website.
There's also some good information on there. There's like the E30 wiring for the SR20. Mm-hmm. There's a whole write-up on that and everything to go along with the video. There's also just information on the builds themselves, a little background, stuff like that. So there's a lot of good stuff. A
lot of photos. And it's like a place where we're storing our historical stuff too. Where like the builds that we've been working on. You know, we've got everything from the if you scroll down through the builds and you go to, let's say, not your son's tricycle. If you're really curious to check out Donnie's trike build, this is everything you need to know about it. The most recent video, where it started, all that stuff, all the photos that
that's
you can look at.
That's a good photo of that trike.
Yeah, it really is a great one. Still loading. Yeah, it's cool. I really love the way that this website turned out. And we do have a store that's listed on there, but it actually doesn't go anywhere. We've got the Legacy GT wagon that we built. It's cool. It's got a lot of our shit.
It's got everything on it.
And then I want to say that we've got the podcast once everything finally opens up here. Brews with the Dudes. Machines and Caffeine page talks about what Machines and Caffeine is. You can contact us through this page. It's got a little like contact thing that pops up.
Yeah, pulls up Jake's address, where he sleeps in his house, all that fun stuff.
We try and keep this as up to date as possible, but like we are a little bit behind some of the videos, like the latest upload. This is still when we are over at the in my garage. So I need to update it a little bit, but it's very fun. Yep, a lot of fun.
So definitely check that out. And like we were talking about earlier, we will be having merch and all that kind of stuff here soon.
Yeah,
so that's where you can get it from.
Yeah, so we'll have the merch figured out here where we are. I'm not sure exactly. Like, we'll probably go from the website and do the sales through there, but I think there's other channels that we can use. Like, we can sell off of Instagram, and I think we can sell off of YouTube as well. I don't know. We haven't decided.
The lake walk on nice summer days.
We totally could. Yeah.
We should.
We'll go drive one of the cars down there because the city will love that.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll sell from it. Yeah. So we'll get all this stuff figured out here soon. We're about... estimate it 3 weeks away from reaching monetization. So our goal is once we open up the doors of having ads and stuff playing on the video. So sorry if you don't have a YouTube premium account. So there are going to start being ads.
I do not have one, by the way.
That's funny.
We have to watch ads to watch videos I helped make.
Well, you know that if you get a YouTube, it's like a Google Family plan or whatever. It's not that expensive. Like, you get...
I'm the only one in the house that watches YouTube.
Yeah, but what about Spotify?
I already have Spotify.
No, I know. But, like, do you pay for it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
how much is Spotify?
$10 a month.
Okay. That's basically the price of having YouTube Premium, which comes with Music.
But I thought the key to me to be a billionaire is to not drink Starbucks and not have subscriptions to stuff like that.
But then why do you have a subscription to Spotify?
Because I'm not a billionaire.
Yeah, but the... Okay. And on that bombshell, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for a... What am I trying to say? Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for listening or watching or just sticking with us.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Do you ever reach that point in a week where you just feel like you lose your mind?
Dude, I'm going off of like 5 hours of sleep, and I can look at the time now, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, huh, you got to be up in like 6 hours.
I need to hide that from you because you're just going to fixate on that.
I'm a little fixated on it. I've been fixated on it since about 9:45.
No wonder you're such a bad guest.
Oh, I'm sorry. Bad guest?
No.
It's my fucking house. Technically, you're the guest right now.
I'm not. This is my space.
Oh, that's your space?
This is my space.
Fine. You're bringing a little cot right over there.
That'd be hilarious. It'd be cold because somebody's window doesn't close.
That's fine. I'll match your fucking heart.
Perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to this cold-hearted bastard. And this piece of work.
Yeah.
We will see you next week for another Brews with the Dudes episode. So thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.